Hello, and welcome to our sixth shiur on the Mesilat Yesharim. Today we are going to begin discussing the Midah of Prishut, of separation. This trait, meaning Prishut, along with the next two, belong to the category of being a chassid, being a pious individual. Here the idea of being piety, being beyond the idea of being righteous. The last three that we have already explained, those three character traits, zehirut, zrizut, and nikiut, they are the traits of righteousness, of being a tzaddik. It is in the realm of everyone to be a tzaddik, meaning everybody has the ability to do exactly what is right, to not do anything that is wrong, to not lie to themselves about what is right and wrong. That's within the realm of everyone. Now, being a chassid, being pious, this is beyond what is correct. It's about doing what is best and choice in every single matter. That requires a person putting more of themselves forward than just doing what's right and wrong. And that's not necessarily for everyone. Now, I'd like people to keep that in mind as we're going forward, for the simple reason that if a person is not yet ready to look at making these changes in their life and going beyond the letter of the law, that they shouldn't feel put back, that they shouldn't feel that everything is so beyond them that there's no way to be able to achieve. This is not necessarily for everyone. But I will say this though, it is possible for each and every one of us in our lifetime to at least take certain parts of the Torah, certain mitzvot, and to make those mitzvot the mitzvot that we go beyond the letter of the law. Be it something simple, for example, putting on tzitzit, that a person says to himself, no, I'm not just going to do exactly what's required of me, I'm going to go beyond the letter of the law. I'm going to have the best tzitzit, made of the best wool, spun in the finest fashion, tied with the best kavana, and so forth and so on and so forth and so on. To try and take individual parts of one's life and move them to the next step. Another way of understanding the division, and this difference perhaps puts it more in line with something that we can absorb now and make use of, is that the first three levels, Zehirut, Zrizut, and Nikiut, being careful and watchful over one's deeds, being motivated, being zealous about one's deeds, and again, as we said before, being honest about one's deeds. So those three levels are in the act of deed, meaning it's about doing the mitzvot in terms of the physical realm, in terms of the actual actions that are there, doing things correctly. These next three, Prishut, Tahora, and Chassidut, separation, purity, and piety, these three levels, these are on the realm of intention. They're a mental level. They're about why you're doing it. They're about how you're doing it. They're about where you're directing your intentions. Where are you directing these deeds? Now, everything was perfect in terms of the actions, but what was behind them on a deeper level? So let's begin, having these things in mind, with Prishut. HaPrishut hi techilat hachasidut. So prishut, separation, this is the beginning of piety. V'tireshu kol ma shebe'aranu adata, u'ma shemitztarek el adam l'shiyeh tzadik. So everything that we've explained up till now is what's necessary for a person to be a tzaddik, to be righteous, to do what's proper. Umikan ulahalahu l'shiyeh hasid. And from here and beyond, this is what it takes to be a chassid, to be a pious individual. Now, prishut and chassidut. Now, when I say chassidut here, I mean the third trait, meaning two classes from now, we'll be discussing it. They're the two pillars of being a chassid. Prishut is restraining oneself from that which is permitted to act. Meaning it's the holding back from doing something which for all intents and purposes is 100% permitted. But nevertheless, he's creating a protective mechanism for himself by limiting whatever relationship he's going to have in that direction in order to keep himself from sin. So this is very much like zehirut. Very much like the idea of being careful that we find in the level of tzidkut, of proper acting. And chassidut, this is the idea of acting beyond what is required. Not only doing what it says, but going one step beyond. That's very much like zarizut. It's very much like the idea of being zariz, of going ahead and doing things in an energetic fashion. But here we're talking about going beyond what needs to be done. We're talking about zealousness plus. V'nimsa ha-prishut im ha-chasidut hu kumo ha-zihirut im ha-zizut. As you said, the prishut is like chasidut. Prishut with chasidut is like zihirut with zrizut. Sh'zeh b'sumera v'zeh b'aseh tov. This one is connected with the idea of separating from evil, and this one is connected with doing good. V'hine klal ha-prishut hu ma sha'amru zichronam levracha. Now, this is the general principle of what it means to attain the level of prishut. Kadesh atzmecha bamutar lach. A person must sanctify himself with what is permissible to him. Vezoti horata shel shemila atzma prishut. And that is in fact what the very essence of the word prishut is. That he goes ahead and he separates and distances himself from a matter. That he, something which is permissible is something which he makes for himself asur. And the idea being is that he doesn't ever come to even touching the isur itself. V'ha'inyan, shekol devar shiuchal livaled mimenu geramatra, afapi she'achshav enu gorem lo. So anything that can ultimately cause him to fall into evil, even though right now it's not going to cause him to fall into evil, v'kol shechen she'enu ramamash, and all the more so that it's not in fact evil in itself, real evil, that he's already separating from. A person knows that certain actions in his life are going to result in sin, ultimately speaking. And we're talking about things that are permissible now. Otherwise, we'd be under the level of nikiyut. People have certain nature. They have certain things that sometimes draws them. A person who's addicted to cigarettes, if he takes a cigarette and starts rolling around in his finger, putting it in his mouth, it's no question he's going to light it up. A person who has addictions to gambling, you put dice in his hand, he's going to gamble. Is holding dice in your hand asur? Is it not permitted? No, it's permitted. But since that person, that individual knows that it's something which is going to go ahead and ultimately speaking, set off within him some sort of behavior that will be something which is in fact not permitted, that's what he holds himself back from. Now understand, we're talking about restraint, which is beyond that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has asked for us, and even what the Rabbanim, even what the Rabbis have told. We're talking about things in the realm of personal restraint. V'hiponen v'tireh yesh kan shlosh madrigot. There are three levels to this. Yesh ha'isurim atzmam. There are those things which in themselves are asur. V'yesh siyagotehem. And then there are the various gates that have been placed around them, the various rules, the megzerot, v'ha mishmarot shegazru chazal, the various protections that were placed by the Chachamim al Kol Yisrael, on the entire Jewish people. V'yesh ha'herchekim shumuta lo kol parush uparush lasot liot kones betoch shelo uvone gedarim la'atzmo. And then there are those things which each individual takes upon himself in distancing self, one's personal self. Those are the things that bring him into this level of being parush, of being separate. The haynu la'aniach min ha'heterim atzmam shlo nesru l'chol Yisrael l'ishrosh mehem, meaning to put aside that was permissible and separating from them, k'dei sheyem ruchak min hara herchei gadlus, so you can have a big distance from what's not allowed. Now, understand, first of all, where did we as a people all of a sudden get this right to take upon ourselves to restrain ourselves beyond what the Torah and the Rabbanim, that they, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Rabbanim themselves, have not said this is not allowed? What gives us the right to all of a sudden turn around and start making restrictions? And if you go that route, there's no end to restrictions. A person can restrict himself into a corner till he gets to a point where he's, what is, like this idea of agoraphobia, he can't go out of his house, he can restrict himself into a little point. What is this guy, is it Hefner, where they found dead in a dark room, closed up with fingernails miles long? What are we talking about here? This is not, clearly not the pre-shoot that we're being talked about here. This is not what we're talking about in terms of pre-shoot. Not only that, we have statements from the Chachamim, such as "Atir Adam Mitan Din Lifnei Amakom Al Kol Ma Shahu Enav V'Lo Ratza Lechol Eno Av V'Pishe Yamutar Lo V'Haya Yechol," meaning that in the future, a person is going to end up giving din v'cheshbon because he went ahead and he saw something, and he decides that what is permissible for him to eat, and he decided not to. He could have eaten it, but he didn't take advantage of the fact that there were things that were permissible to him. Strange. On the flip side of that, we also have what we just said before, Kedoshim to you, holy you should be, which it says in Torah Kohanim, Perushim to you, that you should be separatist, you should be ascetics. So we have two seemingly contradictory things, but clearly logic already can already show us a clear picture that it's certainly not the idea of painting ourselves into a corner of non-existence, being nihilistic. This is certainly not the idea of Prishut. So we see there must be proper and improper forms of pre-shoot. So there must be many, many details, many divisions regarding this idea of pre-shoot. Yesh pre-shoot shenitztavinu vo. There is a type of pre-shoot, a type of separation which is incumbent upon us to do. Yesh pre-shoot shuzhanu alav levilti yikashel vo. And there is a certain type of separation that we're being warned against that will again cause us to fall. And it's about this form of pre-shoot, that which is going to, ultimately speaking, cause damage to us, that Shlomo Melech says in Kohelet, Al tehi tzadik habe, don't be righteous more than necessary. So, Ramchal now is going to explain to us first what is the positive type of pre-shoot, and then he'll come back to what is the negative type of pre-shoot. Now the key is the Prishut is not about restriction for restriction's sake. It's not about affliction for affliction's sake. It's about a means to combat falling into improper actions. It's a tool. It's a means to excel and to move forward. And if it's not that, then it's not the proper Prishut. ונברא את הפרישות הטוב ונאמר כי הנה אחר שהתבהר לנו היות כל ענייני עולם ניסיונות לאדם או כמו שכתבנו כבר למעלה והוכחנו בראיות והתעמת לנו גם כן רוב חולשת האדם בקרבת דתו אל הרעות. So we take into account all the various trials that man has to endure. And then Chassid has looked there for his various proofs on this. And since we firmly understand the weakness that exists within man himself, and the fact that he is inclined to a large degree towards evil, יתברר בהכרח שכל מה שיוכל אדם למלט מן העניינים האלו ראוי שיעשהו. So therefore it seems clear that regarding all of these matters that the Ramchal is going to discuss, and in general from all those things that are of an improper nation, it's proper for a person to do everything he can in order to be able to separate from them. As we said, by zirud, a person is doing a sin. He's looking at self-destruction. Even an animal is always careful about not throwing himself into the fire, and into self-destruction. And they have to be very careful, more careful than normal, meaning everything they can do to watch where they go. See, every form of pleasure that exists in this world, it's not that pleasure is bad, pleasure is good, it has its place. But with every form of pleasure that exists in this world, there's also a sin waiting to grab onto that pleasure and to drag a person down. Derech Mashal is an example. Hamachal v'amishte, eating and drinking. K'shenuku mikol yisurei ha'achila, hine mutarim hem. When everything is 100% permissible, when everything is kosher, when everything is permissible, you can eat. You can enjoy. Omnam, however. Miloi hakerem. Moshech acharav prikatol. You know, a person fills up his tummy. It very often leads to the putting off of the yoke of heaven. Umishtei ayayin. Getting drunk. Moshech acharav aznut ushar minirayim. Getting drunk leads a person to all kinds of very improper type behaviors. Person eats, gets lazy, cries, busy. Busy what? Busy digesting? Drunk, can't think straight. Who knows what he does in his home? Who knows what he does outside? He wakes in the morning, he doesn't even remember what he did. Now, beyond just leading directly to sin, you have to understand that indulging in pleasure, which, like we said, it's permissible, but indulging, going overboard, or one's driving himself after pleasure, these momentary pleasures of the world, it's going to ultimately drive him to sin. It's going to create within him an addictive behavior, an addictive pattern. For example, all the more so when a person goes ahead and he's eating and drinking, and if a person every time sits down and he eats to his absolute fullest, drinks to his absolute most satiated point, gets drunk to no end, Hinim pamechat yichsalo regiluto. If one time he doesn't get his fix, if one time he doesn't get what he's accustomed to, yichavlo, it's gonna hurt him. He's truly gonna have pain. He's really gonna feel the situation. It's gonna weigh in on him heavy. He's going to throw himself completely and totally into making money and doing what is necessary to acquire that which he wants to put on his table in the way he likes. And the focus of his life becomes fulfilling his addiction. Umisham nimshach el havel vagazel. And one thing is going to lead to another. Next thing you know, if he's not able to fulfill his addiction in a proper and kosher fashion, next thing you know, he's going to fulfill it in improper ways. The point where a perfectly sane, normal human being turns around and finds himself becoming a thief. ומשם אל השבועות וכל שער החטאים הרי מחזה, and they start swearing, no, listen, I didn't do it, it's not mine, listen, what's the big deal? Honey, listen, I promised you, I didn't touch the vodka. In the back of his head, he knows he touched the arak, and he touched the this, and he touched the that. No. Swearing in God's name never happened. No. ומסיר עצמו מן עבודה, ומן התורה, ומן התפילה. Next thing you know, boom. End of all. He's not involved in any of the things that he needs to be doing. Serving his Creator, learning his Torah, praying. No. ומה שנפטר מכל זה, אם מתחילתו, לא משך עצמו בנתיים. And all this starts for the fact that if he had just held a little bit of restraint in the beginning, he wouldn't have ended up in the position where he is now. Now everybody's different. People are inclined after different forms of pleasure. An idea of pre-shoot. Something that we at least need to embrace at the lowest and smallest level is not perhaps separation from everything, but at least on those things that we know are going to draw us in. There's an idea, as we know of Gilgul Neshamot and Torah, the person comes back for various reasons. He hasn't fulfilled all the mitzvot he needs to, certain sins, etc., etc. There's an idea that a person can determine, at least to some degree, why he's here, by identifying the very things which draw him most, the very things that are most inclined to become these type of addictive habits. And those specific things are the things that you need to focus in on conquering more than anything else. Now, you have to be, like I said, a tzaddik and everything else, but at the very least, when you can identify these things in your life that you know that they draw you, you need to go after them. And you need to develop a plan of how not to even get to stage one. If you know that going to a certain place is going to draw you into a certain restaurant, which is going to draw you to eat a certain food, which is improper, don't go to that place altogether. If you know that you like those little tiny donut thingies, whatever they might be, and they're in the mall, and they're being sold by this store, don't go to the mall! We're not just saying don't go to the store, don't go to the mall altogether. If you know that you're so inclined that you're going to go ahead and you're going to break all the gedarim, you're going to break all the gates and go forward and do what it's completely and totally improper in Torah, don't even get in the door. Don't even open up the door. Forget about just not going to the food court. It is key. It is important. It is the fundamental of Prishut. To preempt the Yetzer Hara. Don't let it take hold. Once it has you, it's very difficult to get out. Very difficult. The key is avoiding getting into it. A perfectly sane and normal human being who finds himself in a secluded place, in the wrong environment, with the wrong person, in the wrong place. No. Would he do such a thing? Logically, never. But all the things that led up to that, he should have already prevented. Because once you're there, it's not so simple. When you're already wrestling, when you're already dealing with the avera, the actual sin, it's very difficult to win, to conquer it. Keep yourself far when you are far. Because then the Yetzer Hara doesn't have the means to draw you into it, to get you close. If you don't smell the little donuts we were talking about, chances are you're not going to think about running and eating them. Particularly since we're talking about the person who recognizes the fact it takes 7 years to go ahead and take out the very sinful material that he's going to put it into his body. You want to walk around for 7 years with a piece of pig strapped to the side of your stomach? Think about it. Especially when you know and realize that this is not what your Creator put you here for. I'll list now a couple of specific issues. No, person knows. There are times when it's permissible for him and his wife to have the closest of relationships. Yet, nevertheless, with this closeness, we find that the Chachamim made a rule. Now, this rule is not a general rule, or at least it was never accepted by the whole Hamunam as a general rule. But at the very least, those people who have chosen to move towards being a chassid, it's for them to take upon themselves on an individual level. So when those closest of times happen, the man, he needs to go to the mikveh. He needs to take a dip. Purify himself. And what's the reason? I mean, there's reasons of spiritual purity, but beyond that, the Chachamim, it says in Gemara Berachot, the Ramchal tells us, "Shelo yu tamidei Chachamim mitzuyim etzel neshehem ketan golim," so that the tamidei Chachamim, so that the learners of Torah, should not find themselves being like chickens with their wives. Now, everything is permissible. But what happens is that by not placing a certain separation, by not having to, when you have this closeness, to therefore also require a certain series of distancing steps afterwards, meaning distancing yourself from the various acts, etc., following that, it can be ingrained within one's nature to run after this particular form of indulgence. Clothing. The Ramchal gives us next. Hamabushim bikishutim. clothing, jewelry. Lo hisira Torah al yofiam o al tavnitam. Now the Torah didn't say, don't have nice clothing, don't have beautiful garments, don't have beautiful jewelry. The Torah tells us, shelo yeh behem kilayim v'yeh behem tzitzit. The Torah says, don't have mixtures of wool and linen inside of those garments. It says that it has to have tzitzit on them. That all garments are permissible. Whatever it is, no problem. Omnam, however, mi lo yada shemivishat hape'er v'harikma timashech ha'gava. Everybody knows that when a person starts getting all dressed up and flowery and everything, who doesn't know this isn't going to lend oneself to boosting their ego, to becoming more self-centered? Now, for women in particular, go to a party, frequently the most flamboyant dress that they become the most centered part of attraction, of attention. So we talked about in the last year, attention being one of the, if not the key of the Yetzirah, of the Ta'avot of a woman. No. And then by comparative analysis, if she's drawn enough attention, these clothing then lead her to Gava, to self-centeredness, to the center of attention, to the idea that I am better, more beautiful and prettier than everybody else here in the room. No, gamaznuti boba. We know that all kinds of acts, then once a person starts getting into this, to himself, into this, at least one situation can lead to another always. I mean, a person wants to be the center of attraction, they gotta be more wowing every time than the next. Until there's less clothes every time than the next. At least in our generation, sadly, that seems to be what's the big wow. No. What can I tell you? Milvad hakina v'hata'ava, of course, jealousy, desire. Everything that takes, and all that. Kfar moves out. Kevin Shiroi Hayetzer Adam Shitolevekvo Meshesh Begada Musal Servisaro Mazeshali. No. The Yetzahara sees it. That's it. He starts touching it, he starts this, does that, playing with his hair. No. Everything with me. No. Hatiul Vahadivur. Im enu vidvar isur, vaday din Torah mutaru. No, as long as a person, he's sitting down and relaxing with a group of friends, they're having a conversation, a mingle. They're not talking about anything that's asur. No, it's no. We're talking lashon hara here. Of course, this is okay. How much bitul Torah is going to come from discussions about all kinds of nonsenses? One thing's going to lead to another. One man's nonsense becomes another man's stuff, becomes another man's most important valuable, to the point that one thing comes to another, and we're talking now lashon hara. Oh. Kama mina shekarim, how much lies is going to start end up coming from such things? Kama mina litzanut, one joke after another, to the point where people are sitting and doing things of the most improper nature, all kinds of flirting and what have you. For what? There's plenty of room for a person to have some self-restriction and restraint in these areas. Now, remember what I said, we're talking about working beyond the goal of just doing wrong. I understand. These are lofty things. Don't check out. What do you mean? I'm not talking on those levels here. Step. And as we say, becoming the monk. But it does mean setting up borders in order to be able to live and function in this world. And those borders are to avoid the various extreme natures that we all possess in different areas. When you know where that area is, attack it. Don't attack it direct on. Don't think you can desensitize yourself. And it's not desensitization that's being looked for in the Torah. But controlling oneself over for God in the right areas, at the right times, at the right places. These are ultimates. Run for it. At the very least, like I said, the last three midot, those are where everybody needs to be. You can't do anything wrong. You got to do everything right. Can't lie to yourself about this. No. But at least take certain things, certain mitzvot. Make that the issue. So if I'm going to give a bottom line to pre-shoot up to this point, only make do with what you must in this world. That's the idea of being the parish. Making do. Since things in this world are dangerous, meaning they are things that will lead to sin, how is it not that a person will be praised to hold back from these things? Whoever's going to hold back more meshubach, zehu ikar prishut. That's the idea of being a parish. That's the idea of being separate. Only take what you need from the world. Only that thing which your particular nature requires in order to survive here, to be here. Creature comforts are there. And when they're permissible, they're allowed. But restraining oneself will shut the door on the Yetzirah. And this is the way to fight the Yetzirah, through distance. Now, we can then understand why the Rabbanim did not decree this for everyone and make it outright. That's it, everybody needs to be doing pre-shoot, everybody needs to be doing separate, being separate. It's because it's not possible for everybody. And therefore, the Chacham are not going to ask everybody to do something which isn't possible for everybody to accomplish. But it doesn't absolve those people to accomplish where they can accomplish. And when you can accomplish, you need to accomplish. And when you know that there are certain areas in your life that you're drawn to, you need to and you have to be acting in those areas on the level of pre-shoot. You see that this is such a necessary thing. Why did the Chachamim put this in directly into the words of the Gemara? Directly. Like all the other rules the Chachamim made. Make additional rules. That's it. Because only when the most of the congregation can hold by it, that's when the Chachamim made it a public rule that everybody must keep. The majority of the people cannot all reach the levels of being pious people. Being beyond the tzaddik. It's enough that they just be tzaddikim. I love this line. It's like one of my favorite lines in the whole Masilat Yesharim. It's enough that you're a tzaddik. Halavai. And remember, we're talking tzaddik. We're talking proper actions. Zealous actions to do what's right and not lying to oneself. And as we talked about before, the very acts that lead to the sin themselves, meaning the first layer around the sin, that also is part of the sin itself. No. Just going ahead and sitting there and sniffing a non-kosher pizza and sticking it in your mouth but not swallowing, meaning not inhaling, this is still the sin. So when this is still on the level of being tzaddik, you can't even be not inhaling. No. That's for everybody. Now, it's interesting to note, on the bigger perspective, the Ramchal tells us that for those people that are going to make this effort and they're going to go ahead and they're going to become chassid, they're going to become pious people, they're going to put themselves into this tract, these people, achavitzim liskot lekirvato yiparach, those ones that desire to be meritorious, to come close to the Holy One, blessed be He, ulzakot bishutam lechol shar ha'amon anit levan, and desire to bring merit to all the rest of the nation that's connected to them. Lahem magia lekayem mishnat chasidim asher lo yahu lekayem acherim. They're the ones that are going to jump in and they're going to accomplish all the various acts that are beyond the letter of the law. And those people that are taking this to account, those that are going beyond, part and parcel of that is bringing the whole Am with them. It's about being righteous, not for oneself, but for the sake of the Creator. To give hana, anahad ruach, as they say, a pleasure to one's Creator. And that's done not when one does things for themselves, but for the whole Am, for the whole people, comes before God and says, we, your children, we're doing for you, God. I'm doing my extra effort because I can. Not everybody else is up to it. So not everybody's a genius. Not everybody's got the physical stamina to be running 100 miles. Everybody has his kohot, his strengths. And they need to put those strengths together with all the other strengths of the Jewish people to connect ourselves together as one Am, Am Echad, one nation before God, moving to serve Him. So the true chassid, we'll discuss more of this when we get to the level of chassidut, when we start talking the trait of piety, because it's more directly related to that. But even here by Prishut, I find that there's one thing that helps very often when a person, I mean for me, I when I'm thinking about those things that I'm drawn to which are wrong, I said, no, can I drag myself down? Can I allow myself to sin and therefore drag down my whole nation with me? I'm one from them. I could be strong here and I can accomplish, and if I don't, then I've let my people down. Because what I need to do is I need to excel, and I need to do for God not just what He asked, but even what He hinted to, in order to bring merit to all. I find this little tiny thing, it's a tremendous way to inspire oneself. Forget about talking about the fact, oh, what happens if my family, my friends, or this one would happen to see me doing such a thing, how would it let them down? I'm not even talking on those levels, but just letting them down spiritually. Kol Yisrael Arim Zezeh, every Jew is connected. Now when we're talking about the wrong form of separation, the ways of the fools, kidrach sechalim, asher lo dai she'enem lochim min ha'olam, ma she'en lehem hechrach bo, they don't just take from this world what they don't need, But they don't just hold back from those things in this world which they need. They go ahead and they actually afflict themselves and you can do all kinds of other things that God doesn't even want at all. A man is not allowed to afflict himself. He's not allowed to rake himself over his body with combs of iron and make himself bleed. And I don't know, all kinds of crazy things I've seen. I mean, not by the Jews. What's that? People thinking that this is some form of becoming holy. Look, there is place for certain things for the person who is working his way out of a pit under the guidance of a Rav, a Rebbe. These are things directly to attack specific issues, to overcome certain specific addictions. Sometimes there are certain things that are necessary and they require guidance from the outside. But generally speaking, any form of self-affliction, this is not what we're talking about here. And beyond that, really, it's the kamu. Kol mi shetzarich lito ve'enu notel, hari ze shofech damim. I mean, we're talking about being, also even being, you know, holier than now. You know, a guy is in a situation, God forbid, he's stuck in the middle of nowhere. He needs a bus ride home. No, the rabbi says, listen, take a couple of dollars and you'll take the bus and go home. No, I'm going to walk it. What do you mean you're going to walk it? Right through the middle of the worst neighborhoods in town and get yourself beaten up? He says, that's not being, what do you mean? You think you're being holier than that? You think you're being nice and special here because you're separating from the chance of taking tzedakah? When it's necessary, it's necessary. And if not, no, you're shedding blood. You're going to put yourself in danger. You're going to put your family, you put others in danger. No. The Torah talks about being alive. They have to use the Torah as a means to live. A person who goes ahead and he throws upon himself numerous fasts, that person is called a sinner. Now, what are we talking about here? No, a person, he has jobs, he needs to go in the morning, he needs to teach little children. He starts putting on himself all kinds of fasts and afflictions and this and that. Now what? He goes ahead and he falls, he's not able to do his job properly. This is called somebody who is doing something pious. Better he take upon himself some regimen of learning, some regimen of tilim, something. But don't take upon himself that's going to go ahead and destroy his ability to function properly. V'hemiduhu bidulam matzeh matzah nafshe. Nihilel hayomer gomel nafsho ish chaser. Bottom line, anything you can live without, live without. Whatever you need, if you hold back from it, you're a sinner. If you're holding back from your needs, no. What are you going to say for yourself? You need to do what you need to do in order to be able to function properly to serve God within the realm of what is permissible, of course. A person must separate himself in the world from anything that is proper to separate. Anything that he needs. If he sits from that, this is something which is mukhubu. Everybody knows that. Everybody understands it. This is the truth. Person has to be very level-headed with this idea. So, no, everything in its time. Everything in its proper time. One step at a time. There are three types of separation. A person can separate in pleasure, b'hanaot, prishu b'dinim, separation in laws, Rishut v'minhagim, separation and customs. Haprishut b'hanot, separating from those things which are about pleasure, I think we've talked quite a bit about. Just to be careful in all matters and to avoid anything that's suspect. This is the idea of prishut b'dinim. Meaning that a person has to be machmir on all the sveikot, on anything that's questionable. If it's questionable, you stay away from it. Very simple. You don't know, is this kosher? Is it not kosher? Don't eat it. Very simple. Even in a place where there might be some way to say that this is permissible and it's okay, no, separate from it. If you know there's a question, if you know there's opinions that would look at this as being something that's not allowed, don't get involved. Prishut is about the idea of separating min hadome lo or min hadome ledome, separating from that which looks like the sin, and even that which is similar to the thing that looks like the sin. The last of the categories is prishut b'minhagim. It's the idea that one accustoms himself to a certain lifestyle where he takes part of his existence and he separates from the masses and he directs oneself to heaven. Still needs to be in this world, he still needs to fulfill his needs. But he takes that time to separate out from everything. And that's what will give him the strength and the ability to move forward in various levels of piety. But beyond that also, it's a protection. One, he has to learn. So he goes with his chavruta when he has to be with his chavruta. One deals with his family when he needs to deal with his family. One deals with things as he needs to. But he doesn't get involved beyond what's necessary in the very interactions of the world. Interactions are tests. You need to be part of those tests when you need to. But you don't take more tests than you need to. So how does one acquire this idea of prishut? By recognizing cause and effect. And the nothingness that comes from indulgence. In the derech mukhar lignot at the prishut hu, shistakel adam begriut tanugot ha'olam hazeh, ubechitutam mitzad atzmam, v'ara'ot ha'gdolot shikrovot livalet mehem. He looks at the inferior quality of the pleasures of this world, their insignificance, and all the evils that can come from it. At various different, very specific things, such as food. It's the most basic, the most felt of all of these types of tanugim. But is there anything that disappears quicker? I mean, the whole joy of eating is when it's in your mouth and in your throat. Once it leaves there, once it hits the intestines, avad zichroh, that's it. You don't even remember it existed. Or maybe you remember it, but not necessarily for the best. No. You forget this, it never was. Comes and goes immediate. Not just that. The actual sense of being satiated. No. Go eat fat and swans. Come on, lechem kibbar. Even if you ate black bread, if you ate what was going to be necessary to satisfy yourself, in the end, you still have the same satisfaction in terms of the long-term effect from eating. that aspect doesn't change regardless of what you've eaten. Not just that, worse. If a person goes ahead, and very frequently there are these rich various foods and things that exist, no, what do they end up doing to you? A couple hours later, the next morning. Yet, nevertheless, I know even myself, this thing, something stays very good. I have to work on it, how can I tell you? No. Momentary pleasures are momentary. Every other pleasure that's in this world, every other thing that makes you feel good in this world, is the same idea. If you think about it, if you look into it, you're going to see in a little bit of time, gone. But what can come out from it wrong? Who knows? Major. So, little by little, as you begin to accustom yourself to recognize this idea that everything's heavily, nothing of nothing. He's slowly but surely going to become free. He's going to come free from this incredible craziness. He goes ahead and grabs him with. I mean, worse, maybe he'll become disgusted by them, and what have you. No, maybe he'll come to that point. Oh, it's worse, better. I mean, Mahamish, that's it. It doesn't have anything to do with this. Anyway, what we said about this idea of separating in terms of people and what have you, taking that time to... No, evil company leads to evil deeds. I mean, Shlomo Melech said, "Tov lelechet al beit evel, melechet al beit mishteh." It's better to go to a house of mourning than to a party. So, just like introspection brings one to zehirot, so seclusion and meditation will bring one to prishut. Ve'yakar min hakol hitbodedut, taking time and separating oneself out, talking to one's Creator. Contemplating the universe, ki kmo shemesir me'enav in yene olam, when he takes away this world, ken ma'vir chemdatam milibo, then the desires for what's in this world will disappear from his heart. Now, you know, you still have to remain balanced. Now, when you're going forward and becoming a part of Shmi, someone who's separating, you have to be careful. You can't jump from one thing to the end of the world in a moment. It doesn't work that day. Real pre-shoot is not like that. It's a step-by-step process. Nothing's going to come from this. One day a guy's 600 pounds, tomorrow he eats nothing. It doesn't work that way. Slowly but surely you separate. Today a little this, today a little more, tomorrow a little more. Until it becomes a custom, until it becomes your habit. And then it will remain with him as his nature. Bezrat Hashem, God willing, as each and every one of us takes every step in our life to move forward, to be tzaddikim, for sure. And at least to be chassidim, at least to be pious, one thing at a time. Those aspects that we know that we're most inclined to move in the wrong direction, in particular to make sure that we take upon ourselves to go that extra mile. With that, God willing, we'll see Mashiach Tikkun Bimehra Bimenu. Amen.